Today happens to be the birth anniversary of our 11th Imam, Imam Hassan al-Askari alayhi salatu wassalam. Would like to present to you a few sayings from the Imam as a reminder for myself and yourself as part of the process of taqwa that we have to talk about in the Friday khutbah. To begin with, there is a very beautiful saying that the Imam has, where he summarizes what is the purpose of deen. But he says, خَصْلَتَانْ لَيْسَ فَوْقُهُمَا شَيْءٍ. Two qualities or characteristics in a human being where nothing is above that. These are the two fundamental qualities. Number one, al-Iman billah. To believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, this is a summarization of the process, which means with all the commitments that a person has in believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And number two, wa naf'u al-ikhwan, to benefit the brethren in faith and in humanity. So basically, the deen and religion is summarized in connecting ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then connecting ourselves to the people who are around us. And this is a reflection of this ayat of Quran, which has been repeated again and again, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings the concept of as-salat and as-zakat together. You know, many times people say, why? Well, the reason is that these two words, as-salat and zakat, are used as symbols. One is the symbol of haqqullah, and the other is the symbol of huququn nas, the right of Allah and the rights of the people. And they go hand in hand as far as Islam is concerned. One more important saying on the negative side when it comes to al-khaba'ith, you know, the evil character or the qualities of a person, where the Imam says, جُعِلَتِ الْخَبَائِثُ فِي بَيْتٍ. Everything evil has been put in a house. وَالْكِذْبْ مَفَاتِهُهَا. If you want to open that house of evilness, the key to that is lying, kidb. And that is where you have to realize that, you know, the issue of kidb and lying is considered to be the key to all the evils in the society. Then Imam has a kind of a long saying where I would like to, you know, talk about it. When we talk about akhlaq in Islam, you know, ilm al-akhlaq, the science of ethics or morality, is an important topic in Islam. And if you study that, you will see that the purpose of that knowledge is actually to find out the middle level in the character of a human being. All the qualities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us, all the powers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us, you know, they have extremes. Either you are at the level of zero or you are at the level of 120. I didn't say 100, I said 120, which means extreme on both sides, deficiency as well as excess. And the challenge is basically to find that medium, i'tidal, that sirat-e mustaqim. So whatever powers that we have, if you are able to bring that to the middle, and that is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I have given you all the energies and powers, but I also have given you the power of wisdom known as aql. Use the aql to control your emotions and desires, and you will be able to find that, you know, middle level. And this is where Imam, keeping that concept in mind, you know, talks about three, four different situations. Number one, he says, inna lis-sakha miqdaran. Generosity. It might be surprising, you know, you're talking about charity from an Islamic, you know, or a religious platform. And, you know, is there a limit in charity and generosity? Yes. Even there, Imam says, "Inna lissakha miqdaran." There is a level, acceptable level of generosity. فَإِنْ زَادَ عَلَيْهِ فَهُوَ صَرَفٌ. If you exceed that level, then you are being extravagant. Israf. And we'll come to that, inshallah, in the second khutbah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about this concept also. And so you have generosity, which is a good thing in Islam and all religions. But even there, Imam says, don't go to the extremes. You know, otherwise, you will reach to the level of israf. وَلِلْحَزْمِ مِقْدَارًا فَإِنْ زَادَ عَلَيْهِ فَهُوَ جُبْنٌ. Hazm means to be careful, to exercise precaution in situations. But then Imam says, even that has a limit. You can't always be, you know, cautious. Otherwise, you will end up doing nothing. And this is where Imam says, وَلِلْحَزْمِ مِقْدَارًا. You know, to be cautious also has a limit. You have to have that wisdom to understand where you have to exercise precaution or where you have to make the judgment and take the stand. فَإِنْ زَادَ عَلَيْهِ فَوَجُبْنٌ. If you exceed that level of caution, you know, go beyond what is required, then you end up becoming a weak person. A coward, cowardness will come in. Number three, وَلِلْإِقْتِصَادِ مِقْدَارًا. People who would like to manage their livelihood. And it is a very good thing. Islam emphasizes this point. Look at your own means. And look at your expenses. You know, there should be a relationship between the two. You cannot, your expenses cannot go beyond your means. So you have to economize. Live within your means. You know, in Urdu we say, you know, don't extend your chadar more, otherwise your feet will be exposed. So just stay within your own limits. But then, if you think about it so much, what will happen tomorrow? What will happen next week? What will happen next month? Next week? Next year? Maybe you plan for 10 years. If you go on the level of economizing to that level, then Imam says, فَإِنْ زَادَ عَلَيْهِ فَوَا بُخْلٌ. If you do this issue of economizing to the level of extreme, then you become a miser and a niggardly person. Not only regarding your own family members, you don't even spend on yourself. Because you are afraid, if I spend now, you know, now, what will happen next week? And then the time will come, Malikul Maut will say, Bismillah. And whatever you accumulated will be left there. You didn't use for yourself, nor for your family, nor for others. And so, yes, to economize is a good thing, but on the middle level. Then Imam talks about courage. وَلِلشُّجَاعَةَ مِقْدَارًا. You know, to be courageous. A mu'min is supposed to be a courageous person. But there also you have to be careful and you maintain that middle ground. فَإِنْ زَادَ عَلَيْهِ فَهُوَ تَحَوُّرٌ. If you don't use your wisdom to know what does it mean to be courageous. Courageous doesn't mean always to use your sword. Sometimes courage demands that you restrain yourself. It's not always fighting, no. Sometimes even restraining yourself is courage. And that is where the Imam is saying that even shuja'at and courage has a limit. And if you go beyond it, then that is tahawwur, that is foolishness. You're not using your mind in the right way. You know, our people sometimes always think anyone who knows how to fight is the right one person. If you use that criteria, it's only Amir al-Mu'mineen and Hussein who used this word. All other imams would be, na'uzubillah, you know, they were all cowards. No. You know, there are circumstances, there are situations. It is wisdom which dictates whether you take this word or you maintain, you know, peace, or you just move away from a situation where you can become a tool of the oppressor. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to attain that middle ground in our character building. And this is what we learn from our dua on a daily basis when we say, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. The right path, the middle path, away from the extremes of مغضوب عليهم or those who are ضالين. إن أحسن الحديث كتاب الله العزيز بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحليم الكريم غافر الذنب وقابل التوبة وهو الغفور الرحيم ونشهد أن لا إله إلا هو العطوف على العباد بجوده والعواد على المظلمين بحلمه ونشهد أن محمدا نبيه وحبيبه سيد المرسلين وشفيع المذنبين ورحمة للعالمين صلى الله عليه وآله الداعين إلى سبيل الله بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة قادة الأمم وأولياء النعمة ومعدن الرحمة أوصيكم بعد الله بالتوبة ما سلف من ذنوبكم. To continue with this theme from the sayings of the Imam, I would like to now present to you three examples from the Quran on the same theme. One is interestingly a very common issue, the health problem. How much should we eat? You know, Quran doesn't actually command us to eat, because if there was no ayat in Quran, we would still be eating, because that is part of the nature that Allah has created. So He has kind of given us that creative command: for you to survive, you must eat and drink. What he talks about is the limitation. You know, in Surah Araf, he says, وَكُلُوا وَشْرَبُوا, ayat number 31. كُلُوا وَشْرَبُوا, eat and drink. But that's not the purpose of the ayat. The purpose is the next sentence, وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا. But do not go beyond the limit. And that is our problem, especially affluent countries around the world. MashaAllah, you look at the, you know, weight problem. We go to the doctor again and again, says exercise, lose your weight, everything would be okay. And this is, you know, we try so hard. And this is where we have to realize that if we are able to control the input of food, my own personal experience has been that all this dieting program doesn't work. You might go in on it, it might help temporarily, but then you are back to square one. If we are able to control how much we eat, that is the medium, then we will be able to, you know, handle our own health situation in a better way. So the issue even in eating and drinking is not the issue of eat and drink. Rather, it is وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا. Do not go beyond the limit. إِنَّ اللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْرِفِينَ, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't like those who go beyond the limit. In another surah, ayat number, surah 17, surah Isra, ayat number 19, when it comes to charity, even there, as you heard the Imam, you know, saying that, even when you give in charity, there is a limit there. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah says, وَلَا تَجْعَلْ يَدَكَ مَغْلُولَةً إِلَىٰ أُنُقِقٍ. Do not put your hands in such a way that they are in a way shackled to your neck. So somebody says, come and help, and you say, oh, my hand is tied here. So your hand never extend in giving others in charity. وَلَا تَبْسُطْحَ كُلَّ الْبَسْطِ. Neither open or extend your hand totally. You know, so it's not being totally bakhil and always, you know, holding your fist closed and tight. In charity, nor open it totally. That you give away, and then what happens? فَتَقَعْدُ مَلُومًا مَحْسُورًا. Then you give away everything, and then you yourself become needy. And then you regret what you had done. And so even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, give in charity, but according to your own level. And every, you know, individual, they know themselves, you know, what is their level and their capability of giving in charity. And the last example I have here for this khutbah is from Surah Anfal, Surah number 8, at 60 and 61. Even when it comes to the political, social issues for the Muslim community, there also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, the ayat number 60 says, and ayat number 60 and 61 are all connected to one another. He says, وَعِدُّ لَهُمْ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ قُوَّةِ. The Muslims are required to prepare whatever force they can gain to protect themselves. Of course, the word quwwat here doesn't always mean, you know, we're talking about arms and ammunition. It could be anything. Quwwat is a very generic form applying to different situations in different meanings. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, prepare yourself, مَسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ, whatever power you can gain and attain. And then he says, you know, because you have to be prepared so that your enemies do not consider you to be weak, and then they will come and oppress you or occupy you. But then the next ayat immediately says, وَإِنْ جَنَهُ لِلسَّلْمِ فَجْنَحْ لَهَا. But just because you have now power to defend yourself, and the enemy now is careful, you know, they know that they cannot just, you know, play around with you, you know, push you to the right and left, wherever they want, that doesn't mean you become aggressive. And then you have your own, you know, aggressive agenda. No. وَإِنْ جَنَهُ لِلسَّلْمِ. But when the enemy show inclination towards peace, فَجْنَحْ لَهَا. You should also be inclined towards peace. This is where we see, this is the shuja'at. Be a strong nation and a strong community, that so that the enemy doesn't, you know, consider you to be weak and oppress you, whatever, you know, in whatever way they want. But if you see there is an opening for peace and understanding even with the enemy, then you should also be inclined towards that. Let me just connect with our situation. Sometimes, you know, we get this question from people, sometimes directly, sometimes indirectly, that, you know, in Friday khutbah, why even talk about, you know, issues of, you know, political issues affecting the Muslims? Whether it's Middle East or the local scene in Canada or North America, what has that to do with us? And then they bring up this whole argument, oh, remember, this is a charity organization. And as a charitable organization, you are being monitored and you can't get, you know, involved in politics. This is what I'm saying. وَعِدُّ لَهُمْ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ قُوَّةِ. Prepare whatever force you can. And one application of the force is learn the laws of the land. Even the regulations of CRA, Canadian, you know, Revenue Agency. If you look at the laws, is very clear. The religious organizations, churches and mosques and charity organizations are allowed to get involved in political issues, not supporting one party against another, one candidate another against another, but they have a right to bring up issues which are of concern for the community and the country at large. You know, this is where we have to learn. Learn the laws first before you say, oh, you know, by saying those things in the khutbah or in our lectures, you know, you are putting the status of our institution in danger. No. You know, we have to know, as speakers also, we have to know our limits. And this is the main thing, that we cannot be partisan as far as, you know, supporting one party against another or one candidate against another. You know, but we can talk about issues in general. whether it is affecting the Muslim community or the Canadians in general or any world issue. And this is where we have to understand, and this is, you know, so you have this balance of وَعِدُّ لَهُمْ مَسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ and then in جَنَحُ لِلسَّلْمِ فَجْنَحْ لَهَا. If you see this opening of, you know, peaceful gesture, then you should also, you know, respond in the kind manner. And this is where I emphasize this point of engaging with the system. We are not saying that the system is Islamic here. Nor are we saying that any party which comes to power is going to be 100%, you know, everything is kosher. No. But the point is that if by engaging with them, you are able to remove or reduce the thorn in your path as a Muslim living in Canada, why not do that? You know, and that is something we have to understand, that that is the middle ground, not giving in totally, neither going towards total isolation, as some people, you know, have been propagating that around. We have to have that, you know, very clear understanding that engagement, and there are only limitations in engagement, but engagement is necessary for our survival as a Muslim community in this part of the world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the wisdom to understand the reality of the Quran and the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salatu wa salam. اللهم صل على سيد المرسلين وشفيع المذنبين نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وعلى إمام المتقين وأمير المؤمنين علي بن أبي طالب صلوات الله عليه وعلى سيدتنا نساء العالمين سيدتنا فاطمة بنت رسول الله صلوات الله عليها وعلى سيد الشباب أهل الجنة الحسن المجتبى والحسين الشهيد بكربلاء عليهم الصلاة والسلام اللهم صل على أئمة المسلمين علي بن حسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي عليهم الصلاة والسلام اللهم صل على مولانا الحجة بن الحسن صاحب العصر والزمان ما أحيى آثار البدء وتغيان هادم أمنية الشرك والنفاق حاصد فرول البغي والشقاق صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى آباء الكرام ما اتصلت الليالي والأيام اللهم عجل فرج وسهل مخرج واكحل ناظرنا بنظرة منا إليه واجعلنا من المستشهدين بين يديه اللهم اجعلنا ممن يذكر فتنفعه الذكرى إن الله يعمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون.